The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 tonight on the heels of the Killer Bees. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'm Glenn Davis. Let us talk soccer tonight. I got a couple of great interviews for you. All of this presented by our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to John and his firm. They're personal injury attorneys. You need the best. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. All right. We stream at ESPN 975. Guillermo Lazo Romero behind the board as usual. Tonight we start, obviously, with Real Madrid winning the UEFA Super Cup. It's the sixth in record time for Real Madrid. They did it today. It was 0-0 at halftime between the Champions League winners and the Europa League winners, Atalanta. Ends up getting the 59th minute goal from Federico Valverde, and then Kylian Mbappe in the 68th in his debut gets his goal. Was playing more as a center forward for most of this game. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all blends. Yeah, it was staggered. It didn't look good in the first half. What do you expect? It's putting it all together now for Don Carlo Ancelotti. Two great interviews tonight. This is amazing. And if you're into play-by-play commentary, or you're a student getting into it, or you're just a great fan of baseball, Johnny Dosko joins me tonight. He's the play-by-play man for the Oakland Athletics. This man did 30 years calling minor league baseball. 30 years, count them, 22 in Sacramento. 30 years doing minor league baseball, and guess what? At 57 years of age, finally got the MLB call, and he's now the Oakland Athletics play-by-play man on radio and commentator. So Johnny Dosko, this is a really interesting interview. I think you'll like it. Just a great, genuine guy. Also on the show tonight, my former teammate, a midfielder for the Houston Dynamos in the 80s, Mark Lugras. He was also the captain of the Puerto Rican national team during 1990 World Cup qualifying. We're going to talk about a Real Madrid player that is 22 years of age from Puerto Rico and is really kind of changing maybe the course and ambition of young Puerto Rican soccer players now. So we'll get a little take on Puerto Rico and what's happening in a country that's really a baseball country, as everybody knows, but is now one that is obviously engaged in soccer. And it's kind of got the fire starter of this young man who's getting a lot of publicity with Real Madrid. So we'll talk to Mark as well. That's a really good interview. And by the way, he's another incredibly genuine, great guy that is just so passionate about the sport. All right, so a couple news and hits and takes here. A transfer market will close August 31st. Jose Mourinho and Fenerbahce were knocked out by Lille in the Champions League. Real Madrid, obviously, I want to remind people, this is a record Super Cup amount of wins with six. So we got La Liga and Premier League starting this week. The Dynamo don't go back in action till the 24th at home against Toronto FC, so they've gotten a break. But last night we did have Leagues Cup. Philadelphia Union, bit of a shocker, 4-2 over Cincinnati. Tigres went down at New York City FC. Maxi Morales and Rodriguez getting the 2 for NYCFC. They played that game at Red Bull Arena over in Harrison, New Jersey. Toluca, who knocked the Dynamo out, went down to the Colorado Rapids 2-1 in Colorado. Yappy getting the goal. Stuffed in a rebound. But Toluca had hit the crossbar through Angulo. The goal they score in that game is amazing. But it is the Colorado Rapids who advanced. Club America took on St. Louis. They got a 4-2 victory in that one. That was a wild game. Six goals. You had five goals in the Columbus 3-2 victory over Inter Miami. So now Inter Miami, the defending champions, they are out. All Mexican League matchup between Cruz Azul and Mazatlan ended 2-2, Mazatlan winning it 3-1 on penalty kicks. And then LAFC knocking San Jose back down to earth after they beat Necaxa 5-0. San Jose, LAFC smacked them 4-1. By the way, in the Columbus game, Christian Ramirez scored a goal in that game, the former Dynamo. But, you know, it just shows you that some of the players that were at the Dynamo utilized in different ways from the past or surrounded by better players can remain very effective. And a lot of times for a player or a coaching staff, it's about, you know, who's next to someone in order to get the best out of them. And that's what's, you know, that's on the plate of the manager and coaches is to match up the right people who enhance each other's qualities. So I just thought that was interesting with Christian Ramirez right there. Another MLS note, Chicago Fire. Shaqiri is done. He is gone. Really, MLS was kind of a bust for him. I was hoping he was going to do more because I've called a lot of his games when he was on Switzerland in the World Cup and always liked him as a player, but didn't really happen in MLS. So let us talk a little bit. You know, I mentioned La Liga and Premier League starting again. I don't know if you've caught your breath. I'm not sure I have. There's just been so much soccer. And I mean so much soccer. But ready or not, we're going to start again. And these days, the world of football is about volume, content, as many games as possible, paying off sponsors, commercialization, making money. This game may be at a breaking point. I don't know. 60, 70 games a year for some of the players and top superstars at top clubs. It's crazy. So let's take, for example, Julian Alvarez of Argentina, played in the Copa America, played in the Olympics representing Argentina, was at Man City. Now he goes to Atletico Madrid. I think we watched the European Championships and we would be untruthful if we didn't say we didn't think it included a lot of fatigue players. As much as Harry Kane took criticism, as much as players took criticism, these guys were playing on fumes. And you do have to feel for them as well. I think it was noticeable. I think it was noticeable in Copa America, too. It's all about expansion, expanding everything. The size of tournaments, the volume of games, teams participating, regions. Where and when do we hit the tipping point? And I do think we're seeing more bad games. I think we're seeing, at times, more games that are grind-em-out affairs than good games. From a footballing perspective, I don't think the suits care about that. And the ones who are assigned the project of making money. But no matter how good the players are, there's only so much the human body can do. And it expands. And I'm not even sure owners are pushing back enough on their leagues or FIFA, you know, due to prize money. You got a 2025 World Club Championship now that's going to be expanded. That's going to put more on the plate of the player. It's crazy. Here's an interesting comparison. And thank you for tuning in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 tonight, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. By age 24, Ronaldinho, who everybody loved, I mean, just remarkable talent off the chains, 162 career games for him by the age of 24. Vinicius Jr., 344. Almost double. It's incredible. I mean, like I said, the tipping point, it's almost going to be like filling a glass with water and then the water starts going over. At what point does it stop? Pep Guardiola came out and said the manager has to protect the players now because management doesn't. That's him. And he says, it's not beneficial to me to be training exhausted players either, let alone playing in games. And again, if you go back to Euro 2024, you had players admitting they were exhausted. Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham. Yeah, they still got to the final, sure. Let's take a look at a profile of Manchester City of how many potential games they could play. Now, again, this is one of the top clubs in the world. So by winning, they're participating in a lot of things. The Community Shield match was played, 38 Premier League games, 17 Champions League games, 6 FA Cup games, 6 EFL Cups matches, 7 Club World Cup matches, possible 75 games. Pretty nuts. So, a player like Vinicius Jr., who I just mentioned played 344 career games, maybe he should take the money, take the foot off the pedal, and go to Saudi Arabia, play less games, bank all that money, and then come back to Europe. I think this could happen. I think this could happen. Ancelotti talks about the Saudi Arabia connection with Vinny as being basically speculation. MLS, the demands on Leo Messi. He's injured. It's a blessing and a curse, Messi, because one day he's not going to be here. And he's brought a lot of eyeballs to this league around the world. But then what do you do after he leaves? We search for the next big star, I guess. It's big business. It's commercialism first. And even the Champions League is getting in the crypto business. Crypto.com will partner with the Champions League. Unbelievable. One shot on the Cowboys. They're supposed to be worth $10 billion, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dynamo are worth $700 million. The average NFL team is now worth around $6 billion. And by the way, the Cowboys have not been to a Super Bowl in 28 years. I just thought that was something to think about. All right, stick with me. Coming back, we'll go with Mark Lugris. We're going to talk Puerto Rican football. Jeremy De Leon, he will be the subject of the topic, the 22-year-old at Real Madrid. After that, we will then go to Johnny Dasko. The play-by-play man of the Oakland Athletics. What an amazing story. Hope you enjoy the show tonight. Some great interviews coming up. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DanishInspirations.com is where you get the best in modern contemporary furniture. And don't forget Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe right here on Westheimer. They now have the Choripan Sandwich. Choripan Sandwich is there, one of the traditional Argentine sandwiches eaten at Argentine matches. Little Patagonia has them. They also have them at Q2 Stadium in Austin. Stay with us. We're back on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. It is Soccer Matters.
Here is Jude Bellingham once more. Vinicius Junior.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Ronan. That's a great ball for me. High limits! Colorado surely won it! Georgie behind limits! They're number 10! Their savior!
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A couple of things here to remind you. Don't forget, the El Clasico is coming to Houston. The press conference this week, it'll be Chivas taking on Club America of Mexico. I mean, it's going to be a big soccer celebration out at Energy Park. So you can go to lsse.net right now and get into the pre-sort of category for buying tickets. Tickets not on sale yet, but again, it's more big content coming through Houston, Texas. And also a real quick reminder here for my great friends at Cactus Music. All this break music, every time I'm putting the break music together, I'm thinking of Cactus Music, my good friend Quinn down there. And if you're into vinyl, CDs, you want to go into a record store that really is almost like a museum, this is it. It's Cactus Music. All right. With that, we bring on number one, a great friend. Number two, a former teammate of mine in the 80s on the Houston Dynamos, and also was the captain of the Puerto Rican national team during World Cup qualifying in 1990 for that World Cup. And college coach he's been. He's now at Northport, Cal Harbor. youth soccer club, developing young players, and you couldn't have your kid around a better guy. He is Mark Lugris. Mark, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Real pleasure to be here.
All right. So you and me go back a long way. We got a lot to talk about on this. I'm very excited you're on the show tonight. So first of all, Puerto Rico being the home of baseball and Roberto Clemente, okay? We know all the great baseball players, and we know that the sport had a real bump with Mr. Serralta working on growing the game there, the legendary, and Joey, our friend, mutual friend.
Houston native.
Yep. And Puerto Rico being such a baseball country has now produced a player, Jeremy De Leon, who's at Real Madrid, young kid. And it's kind of really brought the game to the forefront on the island, right?
It's changed. It's changed the game. And for their last World Cup qualifier, they had 10,000 fans at the game. They sold out. And that's a first. And this is a baseball first country, and soccer always took a back seat. And Jeremy's kind of become the face of the game, and has just changed the dynamic on, just bringing the game closer to the public. And I think a lot of people are now there's a real, I would guess there's a real emotion that's growing because, again, the World Cup is patriotic, the flag, the anthem. The fact that Jeremy could have maybe considered playing for the U.S. because as a Puerto Rican, you have a U.S. passport. So, you know, he did have that option. And there was a player, former MLS player, that did play with Puerto Rico and then took the U.S. option, which is Chris Armas, who's now coaching at Colorado, my good friend. So a lot of people were worried that Jeremy was going to take maybe that path, look for that path to maybe break into the U.S. squad, being that he was at Real Madrid.
So tell us a little bit about him. He's what, 17 years old? Is that what he is?
No. Right now he's
22.
He's 22. During the era that you were talking about with Joe Serralta, he started the Islanders. They were playing USL. It created a lot of attention in the island, especially from foreign clubs. River Plate and Sevilla both set up academies. And so Jeremy goes to a Sevilla summer camp, and the coach, he's 8 years old. The coach, who's now back at Sevilla doing the U16s, his name is David Caballero, sees him and goes, wow, this kid is just different. So strikes up a relationship with the family, and Jeremy kind of goes and is invited to go train at the academy during the summers when he's off from school, and plays a couple of tournaments with them. And in Spain, all of a sudden, they had that change with the EU law. If you didn't have an EU passport, you could not be in a La Liga academy. So what they do is they set up these side academies where the international players will kind of hold till they're 18 and then be signed by the La Liga teams. So at around 17, Jeremy goes to this, I think it's called, don't quote me on this, but in international development program, which was in Valencia, and does really well there. And Castellón sees him, and Castellón is like in the Spanish third division, and they offer him a contract, and he signs and plays with the U19s, has a super year there with the U19s, like 23 goals, and then all of a sudden gets called up to the squad and just has an amazing first year. And then the following year, they basically play for promotion. And in the playoff, he scores a beautiful goal, beating like two or three players. It was on all the highlight films in on Spanish TV. And it really drew attention. And then that's when I believe Sevilla was bidding on him and Real Madrid. And then Jeremy finally meets Raul and decides on going to Real Madrid. So great story. And real perseverance. And Jeremy's a product of Puerto Rican soccer at the youth level. And then kind of is back and forth till he's about 16, 17. And then moves there with his family to take the chance.
Incredible. Jeremy De Leon is who we're talking about. He's at Real Madrid. We're talking with Mark Lugris, former Houston Dynamos here in Houston. So that's another thing you'll remember. Once at Butler Stadium, scored two goals against the San Jose Earthquakes. I remember that game. And Mark, heavily involved in player development, also was the captain of the Puerto Rican national team. So the best guy to be talking about, Jeremy De Leon. Okay, so I watched some of his footage and stuff. Honestly, first thing is you see he's left-footed, which the more left-footed players you see, the better. That makes him look unique. He almost looks a little bit like the boxer Canelo. You know, he's got the ginger hair.
Yes.
He is unique. Now, where do you see him fitting in with Real Madrid? I mean, is he going to play with Real Madrid B at 22 years of age? Is he going to get loaned out? Because Don Carlo Ancelotti took a liking to him.
Yes, you know, he was playing, you know, usually the last 15, 20 minutes of matches for Castilla towards the end of last season, and then was brought in for some training sessions and did really well. And Ancelotti just took a liking to him and basically took him to all the Champions League matches. Now, he couldn't play. He wasn't on the roster, but he had him in there as a practice player so that when they had training sessions there away, that he was involved, and it was another body. But it got to the point where the press was calling him Ancelotti's lucky charm. Yeah. You know, there were a lot of jokes about it. They were saying, hey, you know, maybe they're keeping Jeremy there because they're trying to get Bad Bunny to do a concert at the Bernabeu, you know, all types of stuff. But Jeremy's had a great attitude. He's worked really hard. And I think Ancelotti has recognized that and brought him on this tour to reward him. So, you know, this is a kid that really works hard. He's got a great work ethic. And I think even though he doesn't really look Puerto Rican with red hair and freckles, you know, he's got our spirit. The Puerto Rican player is hardworking. They're disciplined. And they always they try and play collectively, because we've never really had a player like Jeremy where if we went out as a national team that we had one go-to player that was kind of a game changer. We always had to do everything collectively. So that was our mindset. And I think Jeremy took that, and with his talent has just blossomed into a very good player. And there was talk probably about 4 weeks ago that Mourinho was interested in him for Fenerbahce. And I don't know where that went or if that was just a rumor, but during the telecast of that match, I know that came up and that was kind of circulating about that he might get loaned out. So, you know, I see him as sort of like a Lucas Vasquez type player, play out wide, be that player that comes in with a few minutes in a game to change things. He's very dynamic on the ball, and he had a wonderful game against El Salvador in El Salvador. That was his first international and very, very difficult place to play. And he was outstanding. It really gave their defense a lot of problems, and it gave us a historic tie. And that was a World Cup qualifier. So it was all the pressure, lots of fans, and Jeremy came through with flying colors.
Left-footed, elusive, moves
smart as well.
Laterally, yeah. Well, seems pretty intelligent. Yeah, the little bits I've seen. We're talking to Mark Lucas, former Houston Dynamos, also former captain of the Puerto Rican national team. You know, can this be parlayed? I mean, I get the novelty right away. You know, what's happening with him, the excitement. Does this have a long-term play, you think, in helping grow the sport in Puerto Rico?
Oh, I think it does. I think it does because it gives us that marquee player. A player that's playing abroad internationally at more the biggest club in the world probably right now.
But let's say he gets loaned out to, you know, a less noticeable name and recognized name. Can it still?
Yes, because he's a reference now for our players at the youth level. They see his pathway that he took, and I think that pathway has to kind of – you know, we also have players in the MLS right now. We have Wilfredo Rivera, who's at, I believe, at Orlando B. So we do have some players that are breaking ground through a U.S. pathway. But I think, you know, the European pathway really kind of – we have one more player in Spain who we feel is going to be signed by a major team. He's at Lugo, which is a third division team right now. Played a match in the King's Cup against Atletico Madrid, scored a beautiful goal. And again, sort of like with Jeremy, the goal was highlighted. It raised his profile, and he was in negotiations with Sevilla. His name is Leandro Antonelli. Very talented center forward, great size, very athletic, and extreme pace. So, you know, he and Jeremy right now, to me, are those two breakthrough players that are reference points for the younger generation in Puerto Rico. And we have great athletes there. Just, you know, naturally, you know, Puerto Rico has excelled in boxing, tennis, basketball, baseball, needless to say. So, you know, there's more kids playing soccer now on the island than ever before. And now having this reference point like we have here with Pulisic, you know, it's a motivator for the kids. It's something to strive for, and it's their player. You know, Pulisic is the U.S. player, and American players identify with him, just like they did with Clint Dempsey, I think, as well. So Jeremy's our guy. And Antonelli, I think, can be another one. There's two players there right now that can really break through and maybe play at a major European club.
These are like watershed moments that really have to be taken advantage of, and we'll see if the Puerto Rican Federation and everybody does. It sounds as though it won't be stopped. Having gone to Puerto Rico so many times myself, it is a great sports country. I know it very well from going to the Virgin Islands. We're talking to Mark Lucas, former Houston Dynamos in the 80s. Also, he was the captain of the Puerto Rican national team. Now, the other thing I want people to know about you is, before we let you go, we got about 2 minutes here, is all the tremendous work you've done in player development. Right now, you're with Northport Cow Harbor out on Long Island. Long Island, everybody knows, produces a lot of great soccer players, has one of the largest registrations for youth players in the country, if not the. The passion you have, Mark, I know it's genuine. I know that's an area we need to pull back to because the game has got dominated by a lot of things. Obviously, the money, the commercialization, all these things, what we can take from the game, not what we can learn from it sometimes. So it's fortunate we have guys like you working with youth players. Just tell me a little bit about your coaching career and what's going on now.
Well, you know, I've been in youth soccer for probably over 25 years now. I've kind of dabbled at the collegiate level. I was at Fordham as an assistant on and off for 4 years, and that was a Division I program. And then probably around 2016, got involved at St. Joseph's College on Long Island and did that till very recently. I've gone back to the youth game because I think that that's where the need is for people who have my experience. To talk to parents, to work with kids, to make the game fun and build their passion. And I think that the money end of it is killing a lot of kids' passion. And I think what we've got right at our club right now is that we don't put the winning first. We teach the game inside core values of life. And if my kids finish soccer and go on to be great students, great parents, great at their job, then soccer served its purpose. And I think that that's the vehicle that soccer has to be, to quote the Ted Lasso comment, right? Soccer's life. And I think every emotion you have in a game is translated in real life. And if you can control those emotions in the game and use them to help you, even when things are bad, or not get too high when they're good, and transform that into your everyday life, it's huge. So giving young people that knowledge and that experience is my goal. If we get a professional soccer player, great, but that's not really the end game. The game teaches you everything. And you and I have been around it a long time. We love it. But it's kept us, I guess, it's made us successful people in life. We take our core values from our family and the game. And that's how we live our lives.
One thing I always noticed about you and maybe our generation is we truly had a great love and respect for the game. But what you just said is really going to stand. It's a great way to finish the interview here tonight, Mark. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I look forward to catching up with you more in the future. We need to get you back down to Houston here sometime.
I'd love to come back. It's the best. Houston, I have great memories there. My friend. Thank you.
Mark Lugris, former Dynamos in the 80s and part of Houston soccer history here. And more importantly, doing it now with young people, also the captain of Puerto Rico. Okay, we're going to take a break here. It'll be a quick one. It's brought to you by the one and only John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you want the best. By the way, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm have been getting soccer on the airwaves here on ESPN in Houston for many, many years. So we can thank John and his firm and all our great sponsors. We'll take a quick break here. We got more to come.
Farsi cutting inside. Oh, what a ball! Rossi!
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Quickly, it's so Santi Rodriguez can play on here. Into it, Alex. Return for Rodriguez! New York City have turned this game on its head!
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Tonight we're going to finish it out in big style. I just want to give a quick shout out to our great sponsors, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Jan Christensen, the Great Dane. Get over to Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture on Fondren. By the way, they have Stressless, which I have. It's a great chair to put right in front of your favorite TV for watching sports. It's DanishInspirations.com. Johnny Dosko joins us now, radio play-by-play man and broadcaster, Oakland Athletics. Johnny, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Great to be with you, Glenn. Thank you.
All right. So the first thing is I saw this amazing story about you, and I want my listeners to understand this. You're from Southern California. Johnny's 57 years old. 30 years calling games in the minor leagues, over 4,000 games, and ultimately gets the shot in Major League Baseball. And it is such a story of passion for the game, knowledge. Just maybe speak to us a little bit about your career chronology.
Yeah, for sure. You know, look, when I was younger, when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I turned down the sound of the TV and broadcast the games. I always knew I wanted to do it. I'd go around with a pencil or pen and interview family members and friends around the house, just, you know, interviewing, just kind of getting a feel for it. I always had a passion for it. But then when I started my career, I didn't realize that you kind of had to work your way up. I was young. So I sent out my tapes and announcers were like, you know, kind of got to go through the minor league. So I got a job with the Cedar Rapids Colonels in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when I was 24 years old. And I was there for, before I got the Cedar Rapids job, I was 24 and I got a job in Cresco, Iowa for a group of radio stations. Then I got the Cedar Rapids job at 26 years old and they were affiliated with the Angels. So I was there for 3 years, got a job in Victorville in High Desert, the High Desert Mavericks. It was still Class A ball. So was there for 2 years. And then I went in 1998, I went from there to Fresno, which was AAA, which is one step from the big league. So I get to AAA at 31, and I'm like, oh, this is okay. I'm ready. I'll do 3 years here, and then I'll go to the big leagues. It didn't quite work out that way. So I was in Fresno for three, and then I saw an opportunity in Sacramento in late 2000. So 2001, I started with Sacramento, thinking I'd be there a few years. Well, 22 years later, I was still there. So yeah, I was 56 years old and I was still in AAA. And I thought that was kind of my destiny, which is nothing wrong with that. AAA is great baseball and making a good living. So I was like, this is great. But then I got this opportunity with the A's and got my big break at 56 years old. So it's been, amazing. Yeah. Just going from, just the AAA ballparks to these big league stadiums. There's not one day that I don't, I never take it for granted. I just feel very, very fortunate that I was able to get this job at such a kind of late age and, do my path, you know, get to broadcast at the top level, do what I love to do. It's been a thrill.
By the way, 57's not old in these terms these days, Johnny. So we're talking to Johnny Dosko of the Oakland A's, their radio play-by-play man and broadcaster. So, you know, at what point is this about just the passion for the call of the game? Because I've called everything from World Cups and Olympics and Champions League right on down to Dallas Cup Youth International tournaments. I get excited about whatever level it is I'm doing. So at what point, you know, is it just about the passion for the sport and the call of the game?
Yeah, I can tell you have a passion for what you do too. Yeah, it is. It's when you love what you do, you never feel like you're working. You know, I worked a game at Yankee Stadium yesterday, for crying out loud, right? I was at the Rogers Center in Toronto a few days earlier, Fenway Park in Boston earlier. So yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I've always had a passion for baseball, but to have that passion and be able to talk about the game at the big league level is just it's not lost on me how big that is, now amazing. I feel getting an opportunity to do it. Yeah. So there is a passion for the game. I think you have to have a passion for what you do to reach your goals. And yeah, I've always had a passion for baseball. I kind of raised in a family that loved baseball. My dad, you walk into our house when growing up, the first thing you see is a bookcase with 200 or so baseball books. So I grew up loving the game. My dad kind of instilled how important the game of baseball is to the American psyche, how important this sport is. And so I've always had a love for it from a young age, and kind of that passion's kind of been built up through the years in getting an opportunity to broadcast it at the major league level.
He's Johnny Dosko. He is the radio play-by-play man and broadcaster for the Oakland A's. Did you ever let go of the MLB dream when you were in the minor leagues? Did you ever say, look, it's probably not going to happen?
Yes, absolutely I did. I was probably once I got in my 50s, I said, you know what? It's probably not going to happen, and that's okay. And it's funny, once I let go, and I said, there's nothing wrong with being a AAA. There are so many right now. I know so many AAA announcers that are good enough to broadcast in the big leagues and will never get a shot. So it's you have to get a break too. You can be good. You have to be really good, but you have to be lucky too. And I think, you know, a lot of these, there's so many announcers that I know. I mean, there are announcers in A ball that I know that could do big league baseball, A ball, double A, triple A, you know. But it's just getting a shot, right? And so, yeah, there were definitely times I told my wife, it's not going to happen, and that's okay. It's okay that it's not going to happen, but it's not. And then when I got that call, you know, tears were flowing. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, I was pretty excited. I always thought I could do it. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I know I can do it at the big league level. I know I can. But, you know, it's just I didn't feel I was going to get a shot. And so I got that opportunity, and I feel very lucky that I did.
22 years in Sacramento, and, you know, everybody knows your voice associated with that team. Was it tough balancing a marriage and a family and everything? I guess maybe not, because you had 22 years in one market. You weren't necessarily bouncing around all the time.
Well, no question. It's a challenge. Absolutely. It's a challenge because you're gone a lot. And it just, that's kind of the nature of what we do in this business, you know, being gone a lot, as you said. So yeah, that creates challenges in a marriage for sure. There's no question about it. And, you know, like you miss your, you know, I have a daughter and I miss her to death, you know, when I'm on the road and she's about to go to college. So it's balancing all that. And it's for all of us that are in this business, that is not an easy task at all to manage that.
Johnny Dosko joining us, radio play-by-play man, Oakland A's. You had a really cool quote, and I love this because I'm going to tell you a funny story too. You said, quote, you never really work a day in your life when broadcasting.
Yes, I believe that. I never feel like I'm working. I mean, you prep and you're excited for the work, right? So it never really feels like work. And I can't wait. We got a game tonight, and it's going to be Joey Estes and David Peterson on the mound, and I'm already excited about it. It's these games, just you can't wait. I mean, you take your time and relax and prep and you get ready for the game. Once the bright lights come on and you get to call baseball, I'm working with Vince Catronio tonight. I can't wait till we go on the air together and have some fun. It's pretty, I would say the guys and girls calling minor league baseball too, they feel the same way. And all sports, if you love what you do, you don't feel like you're working. I believe that.
I love the process of the prep. I love talking to the coaches. I love watching, you know, games and figuring out the tactics of an opponent, seeing how they match. I guess, you know, for me, when you get to the stadium, you know, that's like the cherry on top of the cake. It's like, okay, this is even more fun now after the prep, but I enjoy the whole process.
I'm sure you do. I mean, look, you go into a stadium and say, you look around, you say, I'm calling a World Cup game. Are you kidding me? You kind of look around, you say, I'm actually calling a World Cup game. And, you know, do the same thing. I walk into Yankee Stadium. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm walking through Yankee Stadium. I'm going to Citi Field calling the Mets A's. I'm actually calling a big league baseball game here, New York Mets and the Oakland A's. It's just mind boggling. And you know, look, it's emotional when you just think about that kind of working your way up those Class A stadiums in Clinton, Iowa, Burlington, Iowa, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and then work your way up to these cathedrals, these stadiums. It's pretty remarkable, and it's not lost on me ever.
So, Johnny, Bill Brown, I know Bill Brown and have been fortunate to become a friend of his and get to know him. And you know, it's funny because he'll go, man, I don't know how you call soccer. And I'm just like, man, I could not do that with baseball or football or anything else. And I know there's grand differences in calling the two sports. Very, very different. But my question to you is kind of, well, stylistically, what kind of a play-by-play announcer are you, if that's – Kind of a fair question, I guess.
It's a very fair question. I would say conversational. I would say conversational. The best compliment that I get is people feel like I'm talking to just them. They feel like I'm a friendly voice, you know. Do I have the best voice? Absolutely not. Am I one of the best announcers? No chance. But I will say I'm conversational, and I like to call the game like, you know, I'm in your living room and talking baseball with you, you know? So I think conversational would be my best, a friendly voice, conversational. And that's kind of how I approach it. And, you know, look, especially in the major leagues, it takes time to build like, that cachet with the audience. It takes years, right? First couple of years, they're still getting to know you. Once you get into, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, 10 years, you get that relationship with the audience. It becomes a lot better. You know, in Sacramento, I was there 22 years. So, you know, you build a relationship with the audience. They're used, you're kind of their voice of the summer months, right? The spring and summer, you're their voice. There's a friendship there. There's a friendship. There's a warmth and a friendship. And I, you know, you sense that with people. And I think when you're in the big leagues too, I think it just takes time to build that relationship with the audience.
Yeah. And I always felt huge responsibility calling these games on behalf of an organization, a league, a sport, the fans. But also I always felt, and I'm sure you've probably feel the same way and not putting words in your mouth, but that you have to earn the trust of the fan base.
You absolutely do. You absolutely do. And that takes time. That has to be organic. It doesn't come overnight. You know, there's been such a great tradition with the Oakland A's announcers and really Bay Area announcing, Northern California, just legends. So yeah, that's not lost on me either that they expect you to call a crisp, solid game and know the game because they're very knowledgeable. Oakland A's fans are extremely knowledgeable. And they know the game, so you need to be ready. And also, it's not lost on me. Also, working with Vince Catronio and Ken Korak, these two guys. I mean, they know baseball. They have a passion for the game. They've been around. They know the game so well. So I have to come in prepared for those guys as well. So I just that's the thing. The prep, it's very important to me because you can't be, you know, you have a responsibility, as you said. To the listeners, to the fans, to call a good game and to kind of paint the picture for them.
Johnny Dosko, radio play-by-play man for the Oakland Athletics, joining us. This is really, really interesting. By the way, I was sitting here going, man, I wish I had his voice, so I wouldn't beat on your voice too much. 4,000 games in the minor leagues, okay?
Yeah.
Does anything change calling a game when you get to the Major League Baseball level? I mean, do you have to change any element of your style, your delivery, or is it just same?
It's the same. I will say this. I do like the fact, I feel like you can use silence more for your benefit because the crowd noise is so much better. So, and I like to let it breathe a little bit. You know, I think it's important that you let it breathe. Baseball lends itself to that. You can, you know, especially with a big crowd, kind of that buzz in the background, that big crowd, there's something special about baseball. And, you know, some of the great announcers, Vin Scully, John Miller, they use silence to their benefit, and they know how to pause and wait. Ken Korak does that really well as well with the A's. There's a pace to it, and you let that breathe. And there's something about baseball, especially when the home run, the crowd, let the crowd go for 20, 25 seconds. Let it breathe. It's a long time. It seems like a long time but you want the fans to feel that crowd and feel that passion, that voice, that collective voice on a home run. So that's, I would say, is at the big league level is really great because there are crowds every night. You know, when I was in Clinton, Iowa, some of those minor league towns, you know, it felt like you were broadcasting out of a refrigerator. There's just no crowd. So it's harder to kind of use silence to your benefit. But I think that's the one thing. But it's the same game. You know, if you call a 6-4-3 double play in Class A ball, you can call a 6-4-3 double play in the big leagues, right? It's the same game. It just, the big league baseball, the names are familiar. So it just sounds better at the big league level, baseball.
Johnny, you said something that I think is very important. Let it breathe, you know, and I was sitting here thinking, you know, we can do that as soccer commentators. You know, you can let 3-4 passes go by when there's 60,000 people in a stadium and just let everybody reboot. Do you get the sense that sometimes the aspiring new commentators, I don't know how to put it, maybe feel like they're getting paid by the word, like it's boom, 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 without ever maybe pulling back a little bit to your point?
I think so.
To let everybody reboot a little bit and just kind of visually and in their minds see things?
I think some do. And you know, look, I think that's the advice when I get approached by younger announcers on advice that you know, that I can give them. I always say, like, don't be afraid to let it breathe. Don't be afraid to lay back a little bit. Lay back, you know, because I know I was, you know, when I first started in Cedar Rapids, I was mile a minute, 1993-94, I was mile a minute, and I sent my tape to an announcer, I can't remember who, but he just said, you're talking too much, don't, you know, you're bombarding these fans with information, like, just sit back, let it breathe a little bit, you know, and I think that was, and that, you know, honestly, that was the one reason I got the Fresno job, the AAA job in 98, is because the general manager, President John Carberry, late John Carberry, rest in peace, he loved the fact that on a home run, I let like 60 seconds of crowd noise, 50 to 60 seconds of crowd noise go, and I didn't talk. And he said, one reason you got this job is because of silence, because you let it breathe. And so I never forgot that as well. So I kind of made the adjustment in High Desert, in Cedar Rapids and High Desert, and now I do that to this day.
Yeah. That is so cool. The process and learning of it never stops. I mean, I'm not stopping. I'm sure you aren't when it comes to learning how to be better.
Absolutely.
As a play-by-play man. I think that's amazing. And most people would go to radio and think, oh, you got to fill it with words the whole time, right? Like, I'm sitting here listening to you say this, and you know, you realize even on radio, you can lay out if you have the right environment.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's important because it takes the listener time to process information. And if you're constantly talking, and then you get another point, and then they're still trying to process the first point you made. It just, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. Like I'm sure there are times I talk too fast. There are times that I'm so excited to get the information out that I need to kind of lay back. So I'm still learning. There's no question. I'm still learning how to do this. And the great thing about broadcasting is though you get in your 50s and you're getting better. You get in your 60s, getting better. You can do this into your 70s, even into your 80s. So it's just something that it's a pretty cool deal that we can do this till we're, you know, and I hate to say this. People say, would you ever retire? And I'm like, never. I always say I die in the chair. Like I don't ever want to retire from this. I love doing this. You know, it's not something you really retire from. I wouldn't think. I mean, I don't ever have plans on retiring from it. You know, I really don't.
Well, you know, I'm in my early 60s, and
yeah,
you know, I feel like I'm at the height of my play-by-play calling at this stage in my life, and Major League Baseball's always taken care of the older announcer, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, look, you become associated with the team. You're part of the team, and calling the games is such a such an important aspect to it. I agree with you. I think you can do this. You know, announcers still sound great in their 70s and 80s, right? There's a sound that some of these older announcers have that I think is wonderful and iconic voices. It's pretty cool.
It's great back in the experience. Johnny, thanks so much. Now, just for my listeners, you're in New York doing the Mets tonight, right?
Yep, Mets A's tonight.
Take it easy on my Mets, and I want a couple of 1969 Miracle Met references on your broadcast. Okay.
Thanks, Glenn. I enjoyed it. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Johnny, great stuff. And for young aspiring commentators to listen to you, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, and have a great call tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Johnny Dosko. What a story. Radio play-by-play man, broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. That does it for us tonight. Get the podcast at Spotify, Apple, and Google. Also on ESPN975.com. Also, don't forget our great presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And for the best in Argentine empanadas, it's Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe. By the way, they have the choripan sandwich now, which from Argentina is traditional soccer food in stadios, the choripan. Go in there and ask for it, whether you're in Houston or Austin. That does it. Until next week, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
Vinicius Junior trying to tuck it for Mbappe. It'll come for Bellingham. And here's Kylian Mbappe.